Good morning. I have many wonderful associations with your congregation. Your pastors are good friends. Tim is my sometimes my fishing companion, and you can kind of interpret that however you want. I have such wonderful associations over 24 years now with your congregation. I even have a relative in this congregation, but she likes to keep that quiet, so I won't bring her name up. I'm a United Methodist minister. I also, as Jane said, I have credentials in the Mennonite USA Church, so I can say, Ich bin ein Mennonite. Let's have a moment of prayer. Lord, make us master of ourselves that we might be the servants of others. Take our minds and think through them, our lips and speak through them, our hearts and set them on fire. O Lord, may these words come from my heart. May these words go to the heart. Amen. There are 9 Beatitudes in the opening verses of the Sermon on the Mount. Each could be a sermon in a series. You'll be relieved to know that I'm only going to give one sermon this morning. In administrative books, there is a phrase, management by walking around. So I invite you this morning to walk around these verses with me and the theme of happiness. You might call it preaching by walking around. I like the beauty of the older English translations that is still maintained in the New Revised Standard Version that we heard. Blessed are the poor in spirit, and so on. Most of the popular translations go with happy are the pure in spirit, and so on. And although I don't feel entirely comfortable with that translation for a lot of reasons, I'm going to go with it today. Many, many years ago, when I was a college student, Benjamin Mays came to preach at the college chapel. He was, at the time, the president of Atlanta's Morehouse College. A tall, dark, distinguished man, black man, with a head of white hair. If an artist were going to portray him, he would easily use him as a model for the great prophet Isaiah. His text was our text for this morning. His title was Jesus Happy? That really is about all I remember of that sermon. This is my sermon, not his. He employed that repetitive method that some black ministers use so effectively, taking his people down several paths by which people seek happiness, and at the conclusion of each proposed pathway, he would say, now was Jesus happy? He put the pursuit of happiness on a new plane for us, namely that happiness always comes second or third or somewhere down the line to the kingdom, the rule of God in our lives. Seek first, Jesus said, the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Happiness is among those, all those things added unto you. Happiness is second. The rule of God in our lives is first. And when we put the Beatitudes into practice, they become wonderful guidelines for the rule of God. My mother had this little glass bluebird on her shelf. I dropped it this morning in the garage floor, and it's now broken. That's one of the perils of preaching. I retrieved it after her death, and I've kept it on my shelf. It's called, I Learned the Bluebird of Happiness. I'm not sure how it got its name, so I'm just guessing. I'm an amateur bird watcher. I covet the sighting of an eastern bluebird, a beautiful robin-sized bird, mid-blue in color with a rust-colored chest. In my experience, they are very elusive. I've only seen one this year. I like to think that we bird watchers are kind of like Chicago Cub fans. However disappointed, we always come back for more disappointment the next year. Perhaps the little bluebird of happiness gets its name from the elusiveness of whatever it is that people seek in their pursuit of happiness. I'm walking around this now. A major obstacle for happiness is all the qualifiers that we put in front of it, as in, I will be happy if, I will be happy if this or that happens, or what I want. I will be happy only if certain things prevail to come to pass, but these conditions right now prevent me. I will be happy when I get all those debts paid. I will be happy when I get well. I will be happy when I get out of school. I will be happy when I retire. Matthew 5, 1 to 17, again, much abbreviated. Happy are the poor in spirit, the humble, those who mourn, those who thirst for justice, are put down for doing justice, make peace, suffer for good causes, be glad and rejoice. I came across something called the lesson. Hearing these words, Matthew 5, 1 to 17, Peter said, do we have to write this down? Andrew said, are we supposed to know this? James, will there be a test on this? Philip, do we have to turn this in? Bartholomew, the other disciples didn't have to learn this. Matthew said, can I go to the restroom? A Pharisee present asked if Jesus had a lesson plan and objectives. And then, last two words, Jesus wept. I would guess that the author of that might have been a teacher. People often confuse the bluebird of happiness with money. A prominent politician is moved to tears when he talks about the American dream. And for him, it doesn't seem to be fairness and justice and opportunity for everyone, but making a lot of money. Some TV and megachurch pastors preach what is called the gospel of wealth and literally make a lot of capital for themselves out of it. The message of the gospel of wealth is, if you are faithful and if you are good, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and you can send your checks to me for telling you this. The actress Mae West said, I've been rich and I've been poor, but rich is better. And probably most of us have a little corner of ourselves we'd like to test that. But research shows there's little correlation between wealth and happiness. However, the pursuit of wealth seems to remain our number one national occupation. As in, what good is happiness if it doesn't bring you money? Or the credit card is the most wonderful invention since the wheel. With it, you can buy things you don't need, with money you don't have, to impress people you don't like. The British journalist G.K. Chesterton had this marvelous way of getting to the root of a matter. He wrote, nearly all the most precious things in the universe you can get for a shilling. I make exceptions, of course, for the sun, the moon, the earth, the stars, thunderstorms, and such trifles. You can get them for nothing. Then there is this unexamined idea that there was once a golden age of happiness. It goes like this. Once there was this golden age when everything was right in my life and in the world. There was a book, a very popular book some years ago. I've not read it, but this is the title. American High, The Years of Confidence, 1945 to 1960. And then in the colon, a prime time of national optimism and unity. Well, maybe, on the one hand, but those of us who are old enough to have lived through the 50s know that those were the years where we saw the looming of the nuclear cloud. Those were the years of the Korean conflict. Young people and civilians die and are maimed in conflicts, just like in wars, hardly a golden age. In those years, in many parts of our country, schools, restaurants, restrooms, drinking fountains, mortgages, jobs, and many other things were denied to people of color. Were the years of our own adolescence golden years? Now, young people, I want to say we love you, but and it's a wonderful time, and make the best of it, but most of us really don't want to go back to our adolescent years. Or I wish I could go back to trying to get used to being away from home. Remember what that was like? Or adjusting to the give and take of marriage, moving to a new community, a new job, taking out a mortgage, taking tests. The challenge is finding happiness in the present rather than pining for a golden age of the past. In the middle of the English Civil War, 17th century, Sir Robert Shirley built a church in Leicestershire that still stands today. The inscription over the door of the church reads, "In the year 1653, when all things sacred throughout the nation were either demolished or profaned, Sir Robert Shirley founded this church, whose singular praise was to have done the best of things in ye worst of times, and hope for them in the most calamitous." The Beatitudes are realism wrapped up in good news. They combine strange things that we don't usually link together. Happiness comes with some of our spiritual yearnings not yet fulfilled. Happiness comes yoked with sorrow and losses. Happiness comes knowing that there are many things we don't know about the great mystery that envelops our lives. Happiness comes by being out of step with prejudice and hatred, by rejecting revenge and practicing mercy. It comes coupled with the cleansing of the inner life, by standing for peace when violence is the first response that is proposed, when reviled for going against the grain and doing what is good and true and beautiful. Jesus proposes a kind of happiness that is found in the rough and tumble of life. It comes by looking out for the least among us, by rejoicing in those free things, the sun, the moon, the star, the earth, people, thunderstorms, and the other trifles you get for nothing. The gospel is a gift to the imagination. It is thinking and imagining outside of the box. Jesus summons us to find God in the real world surrounding us, sooner rather than later, now and not in the past, not in the future. It is in the tumbler that often is now where the peace that passes all understanding is to be found. William Tyndale, the 16th century biblical translator, penned this great line. The gospel is a Greek word signifying good, glad, and merry tidings, which makes the heart glad and makes a person dance and leap and sing for joy. Now, in some churches, I think they still discuss the question, can Christians dance? Well, the answer to that is quite simple. Some can, some can't. Whether we can dance in the literal sense is one thing. Some can, some can't. The Beatitudes summoned us to dance on the inside without waiting for the conditions to be right. Now is the time. Was Jesus happy? That's an open question. I don't remember that Dr. Mays long ago had an answer for that. Often the gospel comes to us as a question rather than an answer. I want to leave walking around with one closing thought. There are those days when finding happiness is a little bit like what was seen on a church sign. Hallelujah, comma, anyway. Amen.